Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of the Daily Tap. It is September 4th. Happy to be back talking with you guys after a little bit of a holiday break. You know, sometimes we just need it. Just decided to take a couple days off. No real rhyme or reason. Well, I was busy all morning today, actually. So that was part of that reason. But, you know, happy to be back. It is the first week of the National Football League. So college football is wrapping up. Virginia Tech is just giving Florida State the business in Tallahassee. Rough start to the Taggart debut. That is what's going on right now. We are going to be talking about Cubs Brewers, why the Chicago Cubs are obsessed with the Milwaukee Brewers. Yes, you heard me right. And then we will be our first eye on the opponent. We will be looking at the Packers offense versus the Bears defense. Some different things. What we've picked up. Also looking at the matchup itself, obviously. Big rivalry. It's kind of Chicago hate week here on the Daily Tap and on Snowtap WI. And then we'll wrap up with talking about why Nike did it again and they are marketing geniuses. So that is all there. Daily Tap today, a little programming note, so it's going to be a bit different this week. So we have the Daily Tap today, we will have the Daily Tap tomorrow, then we are going to do the weekend watch list for Thursday's show. The reason we're doing that is because Mitch and I, due to scheduling, due to a lot of things, we're doing Tapping the Keg on Thursday night into Friday. So we'll be previewing the Packer season at a whole. We'll talk a little Packers Bears as I'm going to be doing that kind of all week. And then Saturday we'll have a new show, which I'll be announcing on Tapping the Keg. So unless we decide to announce it early. But yes, that will be coming out. We'll announce that on Tapping the Keg. We'll also announce our Sunday show. So we're going to have sort of a Sunday show, that's all I'll say, and sort of talk about the football season at whole. I'm really excited to get rolling. You guys know Snowtap WI is where you find us. Go to the Snowtap Network page. You can get all the podcasts there. You can get Daily Tap. You can get Tapping the Keg. You can get Weekend Watch List. You can go back and see if my predictions were wrong or right. I feel like an idiot for not going with my heart and telling you that you should have bet all your money on LSU. I knew that after I taped it. I was like, fuck, that's what I should have gave the advice out. It's okay. We'll be better. Gotta fade the public. That's always there. And yet there are so many public bets for the NFL this week that look great. So we're going to get fucked some way. Someone, you know, the real question is who's going to fuck us? And then so that's where you find us. And let's spend no more time talking about ourselves and talk about the Cubs Brewers. So the Brewers got their second straight win. The Brewers have won five of their last six. I think that's correct. Or five of their last six. The Brewers have been suddenly hot. And now they're putting it to good work. They get a win today and obviously beat the Cubs. So they now move to four games back. The St. Louis Cardinals lost. Their bullpen came undone yet again. You just hate to see that. But they did. And now the Cardinals are 1.5 games back of the Brewers. And so here we go, right? This is what you want. And I thought today's game was really, I'm taping this actually on late Monday night, so bear with me at the today's and yesterday's. But I thought the game itself really encapsulated the difference of 2018 to 2017. I was at Brewers Cubs when the Brewers basically had every chance in the world in September. They had bases loaded, they had multiple situations, and they could not come through in the clutch. And it lost. And it lost two heartbreaking games that ultimately sort of decided their fate inside the division. This year was different. This year, the Brewers get on base. They bounce back after Anthony Rizzo, known Brewer killer, loves sitting at Miller Park, hits a two-run blast off Josh Hader to take the lead in the eighth inning. The Brewers come back. They load up the bases. And this whole Joe Maddon thing, which was bizarre. I can't believe that Joe Maddon was that much of a prima donna to make himself the fucking star of the show. I didn't think the umpiring was that great today. I'll admit that. But Joe Maddon, to the gall that Joe Maddon has to just completely fluster a team and a player, Joe Maddon should hold this out. There is no reason why the Cubs should have... I mean, I shouldn't say there's no reason the Cubs should have lost this game, but like, Joe Maddon really needs to like check himself. Like, Joe Maddon thinks he's like God's earth to fucking managing. Like, I am so sick of Joe Maddon. Like, if there is one person I'm sick of with the Chicago Cubs, it's Joe fucking Maddon. Like, he just, he's such a crybaby. He always thinks it's about him, and he never, like, really gives a shit about what Carl Edwards is doing. Carl Edwards then gets tossed. Brewers walk, Cubs walk in the tying run, so game goes back to 3. Brewers end up winning on a walk-off fielder's choice that Christian Yelich hit. Christian Yelich got the contact. Why Chris Bryant didn't go home is beyond me. But the Brewers grinded it out. Last year, they would have lost that game. I'm convinced of that. I do think this is different. And now today becomes a great chance to get the series. I mean, and you got to give credit to Zach Davies. Zach Davies was phenomenal out there. 5 strong innings for Davies in his first start back. A lot of people questioned, you know, is Davies going to be ready for that? I mean, is Davies sort of going to be ready for the big moment? This is arguably one of the biggest games of the year. I mean, that kind of is how it's every year, right? Every game now is going to really be the biggest game of the year. Hader goes for nearly 3 innings. Like I said, he did blow that. Knable came in and got an out, which was great. And, you know, unfortunately for Josh, it was the one hit, the one walk, and he was cruising. So now Hader's probably down for the next 2 games. I'd be surprised if we do get Hader for the rest of the series. So tomorrow we'll get Wade Miley, Mike Montgomery. Interesting lefty-lefty matchup. Montgomery has had some troubles, especially with Ryan Braun in the past. So we'll see if Montgomery can do it. Miley will try to continue his great season. I do think if there was a time where Wade Miley, everything, the advanced metrics would say, yeah, told you so, it'd be tomorrow night or tonight. One of the bigger stories that came out of the game today was Cole Hamels running his mouth and saying that this is not a rivalry. All the fans in the crowd are Cubs fans. It's making national headlines. It's front page at ESPN. I'm sure it'll be talked about in the national media space because everything does with the Cubs. And it's to me, it motivates, you know, in Jesse Rogers. Hamels takes jab at Brewers fandom. Jesse Rogers writes for ESPN. Here's what Hamels says. When you have the majority of Cubs fans in the stands, I don't know if it's a rivalry. They aren't going to like me for that comment, but look at ticket sales. When they start getting a little closer, their fans sell out. Then I think it's kind of an understanding of a rivalry, but Cubs fans travel well. So Hamels is a fucking idiot, man. Hamels is an absolute clown for this comment. First of all, Milwaukee's the smallest market. Of course, Cubs fans are going to buy up tickets. That's number one. Number two, this is a holiday game where all Cubs fans could get away. They know they're going to be playing this game. By the way, if this was in Wrigley, this probably game doesn't even get underway with all the bad weather in the Midwest. And on top of this all, the Brewers are a top 10 fucking team in attendance, you dumb fuck. Like, how dumb can you be? How dumb is Cole Hamels? Like, is Cole Hamels one of the dumbest players in baseball? Because I honestly do not understand the density of some of these Cubs players. And I just want to know, why are the Cubs so obsessed with the Brewers? I saw Ben Brust of ESPN Wisconsin running his mouth. Like, Ben knows anything. I mean, come on. Like, the guy has a job because where he played basketball. That's it. And really, you know, it's all go with there. But, like, the fact of the matter is like, everybody has this whole inferiority. Like, the Brewers are the ones who are supposed to have this inferiority complex. It's not supposed to be the other way around. The Cubs don't want to acknowledge the Brewers because what happens if little brother takes over big brother? They want to think of the Brewers as just sort of this other team. Well, I have another thing coming for you. This is a team that can beat the Cubs in a playoff series. The Cubs rotation is no better than the Brewers. It is a pile of shit right now. The Brewers rotation, not that great. One of the worst in the big leagues, but of the last month. But at the same time, it is a null and void. So it comes down to offenses, and the Brewers can slug with the Cubs. I am not afraid of the Cubs. The Brewers aren't afraid of the Cubs. Cubs fans can run their mouth. They are fucking scared. They are running scared. All of them are scalded dogs. That is all it is right now. That is all that's happening. Cole Hamels said that because he is scared. He does not want this smoke. It is simply put. And it fires me up because I'm so sick and tired of having this conversation. I'm sick and tired of just always having to talk about this and having to exhaust time with it. I'm so done with the Cubs thinking they're better than us. They are not. They have won in the last few years, but they are just a team that thinks that their shit doesn't stink. And guess what? It does. Everybody's shit stinks. Everybody has things. And God damn it, would I love taking the division from those motherfuckers. So let's get it today, Brewers. All right. I feel better. Continuing on with Chicago Hate Week, we're going to have a more reasonable discussion about the Packers and Bears game one of the season. It is a first time Packers and Bears are getting together for a primetime game since 2009. Do you guys remember this game? So I don't know why. I can remember a lot of Packer games, right? Like, but for some reason, I don't remember this game. Like, I don't have, like, a pure recollection of it. If you recall, 2009 was the year after the Packers went 6-10 with Rodgers' first year. Rodgers, this team goes to the playoffs. Now, they were down 15-13 to the Chicago Bears. Under 2 minutes left, Aaron Rodgers runs a beautiful play-action 50-yard pass to Greg Jennings. And just Jennings burns Nathan Vasher, one of the many bad corners for the Chicago Bears. And they get the touchdown and they win the game. I just completely forgot about this game. Like, and it was a great game. I mean, it was a great comeback victory for Rodgers. And it was excellent. And now a little different these days with Packers-Bears. I mean, Rodgers is 15-4 against the Bears all time. He's only lost twice in Lambeau Field. One of those losses, he broke his collarbone in. The other loss was a very bizarre Thanksgiving night, rain-soaked game that I don't want to say it's a fluke that the Bears won that game, but one of the weirder games of recent memory for the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, Rodgers definitely is, I think, out for, I would say, revenge. You know, maybe that's strong of a word, but Aaron Rodgers wants to make a statement early on this season that he's ready to play and he is ready to be at an MVP level. Aaron Rodgers, I think back again with Joe Philbin in the saddle, is going to be a lot of fun. Now, people will poo-poo about Joe Philbin because he was not a good head coach. The guy is a good coordinator. The guy works well with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers and him are going to make some magic here. It's going to be wonderful to watch. I don't think there is one corner that has an answer with Davante Adams. I'm not really worried about Jimmy Graham patrolling the middle. I think there's going to be a lot of hype around Trey Burton. And in a lot of ways, and we'll talk about the Bears. Well, we can talk about it now because Khalil Mack is probably going to play. I expect Khalil Mack to play. And the question is, are you scared of Khalil Mack? And I'm not, like, entirely. I think that I'm a little worried about the fact that you have him on the side of Brian Bulaga. And while Bulaga played him great 3 years ago, I've been in the camp that Brian Bulaga's kind of lost a step a little bit. He always gets hurt, so maybe he'll be all right. But I guess the one, like, saving grace is you have guys like Mercedes Lewis. So you could almost do things where you have a two tight end set, but Jimmy's spread out in the slot. Or, you know, you're running more of a single back formation. And you have Mercedes Lewis there kind of as a sixth guy, kind of chipping and sort of making sure that that Khalil Mack isn't going untouched. I think you're going to see more and more of that. But yeah, I do expect Khalil Mack to play. I don't know how much, but you know, the Bears defense is good. I'm not going to say that like this is going to be a walk in the park for the Packers. I mean, Vic Fangio had 14th best defense in the DVOA last year. The Bears do have a very strong defensive unit. They don't have a ton of spots where you can exploit them. I do think safety over the top is a good spot to start if you're looking somewhere where things could happen for the Packers. That, I mean, Kyle Fuller's good, but that secondary still has question marks. It never really has sort of, you know, evolved, shall we say. And Jamal Williams is going to get a chance. I mean, Jamal Williams, all eyes on him. The Packers have three running backs. They brought in Darius Jackson today off the Cowboys practice squad. Interesting guy. He has a bigger frame. Murph compared him to Ryan Grant, Matt Forte, just with his sort of size and kind of runs straight up a little bit. But, you know, Jamal Williams is going to get a bulk of the carries. I think Ty Montgomery will be involved, but I think it really is going to be Jamal Williams' time to shine. Now, we did see him play ball out on a primetime stage with the Pittsburgh game last season, so he's not afraid of the big moment. We could see Jamal Williams having himself quite a day. I think there's also a great deal of hype around Jimmy Graham and the excitement that's going to be there. I mean, it's a good topic, but who has more hype around him, Graham or Trey Burton? I'd probably say Graham, just given his quarterback, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get Jimmy Graham involved early and often, and because that's kind of something they did in week one. I know Rob Demasi had sort of that snarky tweet like, oh yeah, Martellus Bennett and Aaron Rodgers started off great, and I think you're going to see some of the similar things. I think they're going to start in the middle and work their way to the outside. They always tend to get Devontae on, sort of try to get Devontae on a big play early on. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that again. He's a stud, man. He's going to have a big year. I'm ready for that. So I really do think Packers offense can succeed in this matchup. I don't really have a lot of trepidation about the Bears, even though they do add Khalil Mack. They do have a lot, you know, some talent there. And we'll talk about the Bears offense tomorrow, and you can look forward to that with Mike Patton's new defense. How are the young corners going to hold up? Mitch Trubisky, and the argument that I can make, and I'll tease out, I think the Bears have more pressure on them than the Packers do in week one. But that's just me. All right, so let's wrap it up real quickly. Went long on both first topics. So I did want to talk a little bit about Nike rolling out Colin Kaepernick as their face of their Just Do It campaign, the 30th year anniversary. It is a very bold strategy by Nike. Nike making a sort of power play. They will be the thing people are talking about Tuesday morning. No one's talking about college football. No one's talking about the start of the NFL season. They're talking about the ad that Colin Kaepernick is featured in. It is going to be, Trump will tweet about it. He has not yet. As of now, it's 10:30 on a Monday night. But it's going to be a topic of national conversation. So, that said, I think Nike's a genius company. I mean, I loved reading Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. And if you read Shoe Dog, or you've read excerpts, or how Nike has sort of built themselves as a challenger brand prior to being, you know, a global takeover, is they were always challenging status quo. Putting Colin Kaepernick in front of your ad is challenging status quo. I think it is a wise move. I think it is a move that I think is more safe than people give it credit for. People are going to be like, oh, this is, you know, like I said, bold. I think it is still it's still something where you have to deal with the side of the country who really doesn't feel that way. I do think there is an interesting case to be made about, you know, the service academies who wear Nike. I believe I think Army does. So Army, I believe, is a Nike brand. I think that topic will get brought up. Air Force might too. I think Navy is Under Armour. You got to help me out there. It's kind of off the top of my head. But I think that will be an interesting conversation. I know that more people who are for what Colin Kaepernick's doing, and I've been at the camp that I just really don't care. I don't get myself involved. I don't pick a side because it's not worth it. And you say, well, that's on the fence. You have to have a side. I can see both sides of the argument. I can see those who are saying he's not protesting the anthem. He's protesting social injustice. Totally get that. I also have, when it's not ridiculous, when it's not a, you know, a thing of like, you know, I'm going to cut my swooshes off my socks sort of bullshit. When there are reasonable opinions of why this offends me, I can get that too. And I talk about this all the time on the podcast. There's not enough in our country of, I can understand both sides and I choose not to be on a side. I don't really want to have a fucking opinion on this. I don't want to have like a, I believe strongly in this or I believe strongly in that. Because I think there are both legitimate arguments. I get protesting for social injustice. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about Colin Kaepernick. He's put his money where his mouth is. Originally when this started, I said, you know what? If he's going to do this, if he's going to really be about it, he needs to really make an investment. He has. And I can't fault the man for that. I do think some of his theatrics about getting a job are, it's better for his brand for him to be unemployed. So he makes money elsewhere, Nike campaign and everything. It's better for his brand to be unemployed. And that is a fucking fact. And I know that that might bristle some people, but it is way better for Colin Kaepernick to be unemployed than for him to be bouncing around the league. As a backup quarterback, he could be the backup quarterback for the Giants. He could be that. And there are teams who probably did blackball. The NFL collusion case is fascinating. But the NFL now has to deal with Nike. The team who makes their jerseys is now the face of their ad campaign is Colin Kaepernick, the guy who has a collusion case against them. It's a very, that side of it is bold. That side is really putting your nuts on the table and asking Roger Goodell to do something. So we'll see what happens. It's not, I don't expect me to talk about this a lot, but it's definitely not going to be a storyline that's ending. For the record, I saw one of my Twitter followers do this, but I've muted Kaepernick and Nike from my Twitter timeline. I just don't really care. And so maybe my own tweet I won't see when I post this podcast. All right. Sorry it ran long. Be back tomorrow. We'll talk Brewers and Cubs. I also will be at the Killers. I'll talk about my first concert experience at the Fiserv Forum. We'll also talk about the Bears offense against the new look Packer defense. So great show tomorrow. Good one today. Take care of yourselves. Have a good one. Fuck Cole Hamels. Fuck Chicago forever. See ya.